So good evening. I'm like, good afternoon. Good. Well, it's sort of been a long afternoon with a nice sunshine. So anyway, good evening. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And tonight is going to be a really, really good show. So what have I been doing? Today I was in the sun. I worked outside in the coffee shop, and I was taking my calls, and the doors were open. Normally I'm begging them to shut the door because it's been so cold, but today I was out with the sun on my skin. It was so great. I know everybody was just loving it, but I'm in a sad space because my little friend, my neighbor that I've had since she's been 1 year old, got shipped away down south. It's almost like she's gone to live on the chain gang, but I spoke to her. And she's okay. And that's the main thing, that she's safe and that she's happy. So I'm a little bit sad about that because I've been used to seeing this kid since she's 1 year old almost every single day. And, teenager, parents, it's not really a parent, but parent has shipped her down because she doesn't want to be bothered anymore. So, hey, that's a whole nother story. But other than that, I'm getting ready to go to Barbados. Mm. I am really excited about that. And it's taken a minute for me to get really excited about going to Barbados. A client of mine that did one of my workshops 2 years ago and met the love of her life. The workshop was Calling in the One Unapologetically. And she did a lot of work on herself and met the love of her life and told me last year that she was getting married. And I had to come to the wedding, so I could not disappoint. So on Thursday, I'll be going to Barbados. And it really took something for me to actually say, yes, I'm going to go. Even though I knew I was going to go, it took something for me mentally to pull myself away from my work, to pull myself away from New York, which I love, and I'm loving my work, and I'm having a really good time. And then I booked the flight. I was like, okay, so I'll go Thursday, and I'll come back Sunday. But then when I spoke to a friend of mine, she goes, Noreen, what did you create work for? You created work to have freedom so that you can go. You have a computer, you have your phones, you have your stuff. You can go work anywhere you want in the world. And I was like, you know, you're right. So when I was booking it, I decided that I will go on Thursday and I'll come back on Tuesday. So, but it took something. It took something for me to do that, to let go. And so now I'm getting really revved up and I'm so excited. So I'll be talking to you guys I'm going to be doing Facebook Lives and stuff. So I'll be talking to you all from Barbados. It's my first time there. And I'm really happy to say that I'll be one block away from the beach. I know, right? So tonight we're going to be speaking to a really incredible young woman who is, I call it brains, beauty, and bravery. And what she does is I call her, she collects woods from around the world.
Yeah.
Right? From all the jungles around the world. You've practically been to every jungle, right?
I mean, not quite, no. I mean, mostly just in South and Central America. I haven't been to Indonesia or anything like that yet. So.
Those would be amazing.
Yeah.
Right. So she's been traveling and around the world collecting and gathering wood, right? That sounds really weird, but yes, the good wood. No, let me stop because it's just going to get weirder and weirder.
Yeah, right? So, keep going.
In any case, tonight she's going to share her story of how she got into it. You know, as you all know, if you're a regular listener, my show is about people's passions, and passion could be absolutely anything that you want it to be. It does not have to be anything that somebody has told you that you have to have, or you're not allowed to express your passions. Your passions can be expressed in so many different ways. And one of the things that you'll find out tonight is this woman is happy doing what she's doing. And it wasn't something that you planned on doing.
Not at all.
So let's get started. I'm going to introduce you to Alexandra Clement.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Hi,
okay,
everybody.
So Alexandra, introduce yourself to the people.
So my name is Alexandra, as Noreen said. I'm a woodworker in New York City, and I spend a lot of my time in the shop and in the jungle of Central and South America trying to find really rare exotic woods all sustainably.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you get into this business? I know, but for the audience, let them know, how did this come about?
It was super unplanned, very random.
Let me stop you right there and ask you, what did you go to school for?
So I went to FIT. I studied fashion merchandising. I had no idea what I wanted to do with that degree. I just kind of thought, okay, maybe I could be a buyer. I can travel the world looking for fabrics. I thought maybe I would import carpets. You know, I didn't really know.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it was basically a business degree. It was a great school to kind of get my foot in the door and see what it was like to, like, you know, what the business end would be. But, you know, I always had that creative kind of tick.
Right.
So, you know, I was working for a construction company, which was helping me pay for school. I was like their secretary, answering phones, counting, boring things. And they built a lot of bridges, docks, piers throughout the tri-state area. So like on the Hudson, Coney Island, they used this type of wood that was in all their contracts. And it was becoming like the talk of the office. Like, oh, we need this wood. It's really expensive. There was only one person that sold it. So that's kind of how it piqued my interest. And I started Googling it. And I was very bored at that job. Just like, you know.
I was a secretary too. So I fully understand.
It was just one of those things where I was just like, oh my goodness, I don't think I could be in an office the rest of my life. Like maybe I'm not smart. You know, like it was just, it was a weird time. But yeah, I started Googling this wood and I found out that it came from this specific part of South America. And it kind of just snowballed from there. I started talking to the CEO about it. And I was just like,
and how did you broach the conversation when you, I mean, cause you know nothing about wood, right?
Nothing.
Right. So how did you broach that conversation?
I was just kind of like, well, this wood costs so much. Like what would you do if maybe I just sold it? Like I went down and tried to find it and I sold it to you and you guys could save all this money and I can make a little money and I get to travel and not be sitting in this desk and, you know.
And so when you were actually speaking this, I'm going to say you spoke this into fruition, right? You actually spoke it, created it, and then took the steps. Was it something that you were saying, oh, I'm going to do this? Or was it like, you know, I wonder what this would be like?
Oh, no, it was like a turning point for me. I was like, I can't stay at this job. So if I'm going to stay at this job, I need to make it work like by doing something like this. And this sounds really cool.
So what was the first step?
I mean, the first step was just like trying to figure out if I could find people who knew things about wood from where this was. And so I would email and I'd, mostly back then it was calling and, you know, people would answer the phone. They would be crazy. They would just be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, or they would say they had wood, but I think it was kind of like a scam just to try to get me to send them money. And basically I just tried to set up appointments so that I could justify booking a flight down there. And that's what I did. I started booking appointments in Guyana and Argentina and Brazil.
And have you ever gone to these places before?
Yes, I ended up going down to Guyana.
No, but had you before?
Oh, before? No.
So where was the furthest you'd ever gone?
Oh my, where was that? I don't know, like Europe or something. Oh, okay. At that point. All right. Yeah, I didn't even start traveling until I was older.
Right.
You know, like I didn't leave the country until I was like 20.
Ooh.
I know. Meanwhile, my mom has never left the country yet.
Okay. So, so your mother's in the studio.
My mom is here.
Come and say hello.
Hello.
So you were 20 when this started?
Yeah, I was about 20.
Right. And so what was that feeling like? Like just so there's somebody probably out here listening to this conversation. Or there's some mother that's listening to the conversation saying, well, I got a 20-year-old that's just sitting around here not doing anything, right? What was that like for you?
To start going down?
To just get out and just say, I'm just going to try this on.
I mean, it was a cool feeling, but I had no idea where it was really going to lead. So it was just kind of like, I think everyone around me
just thought I was
crazy. Everybody thought it was crazy.
Right.
You know, they didn't really
know. You have
really
to have a little bit of crazy.
Yeah.
To get anything done.
Oh, yeah. I'm like full crazy. So.
Right. So now you get on the plane and you land where?
Guyana.
So you went to Guyana. Okay. Let's walk me through the day, the experience.
It was quite crazy going down there. I remember I was on a red eye flight and I was very nervous, you know. And I landed and I got this cab driver came up and they were saying, oh, you know, we'll be your driver for the your whole trip. And we'll take care of you.
Because they put you on vacation.
Right. So we were staying at the Pegasus Hotel and they were like, we'll drive you. It's fine. So we hop in the car and they start driving like 100 miles an hour towards this hotel on like a one-way street. But the cars are coming in both directions.
Right.
So it just started out like I was going to die. It was like I was in a NASCAR and like, but there was cars coming right at me in one lane and they would swerve to the side and go off the road and bounce back. It was like I was on a roller coaster. So I think that actually might have been the closest I've ever come to dying. One of the many times down there that might have happened. That was going to happen.
Right. Now your mother hears it all. You'll never go again.
Yeah, I didn't tell her a lot about that trip until a couple years later when I was home safe.
Okay, so now you're in your hotel. Who did you go with?
I went with one of the partners from the construction company.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm in my hotel room. The hotel that I was staying at was one of the only hotels down there I could find. And I swear the gates around the hotel were so high that you couldn't even see the sky. It was just like you were like locked in there.
Right.
And they said it was like on the ocean. And I was just like, you know, okay, like I'm going to go check out the ocean before, you know, I go eat something. And I remember going outside the gates and looking around and not seeing anything.
Right.
You know, and I was just, I asked somebody, I was like, where's the ocean? They're like, it's right there. It was just dirt and garbage and brown and just, it was just, you couldn't even see it. It was just like, you know, never ending garbage everywhere. So it was just a crazy sight to see like how I was in such a, like in such poverty, you know, it was really eye opening.
Okay. So now you've there's no ocean, okay?
I mean, there is. And,
yeah, there's an ocean, but it's an ocean of crap.
Yeah.
Right? So what's the next day? Like, what's your next day?
The next day I'm sick because apparently I, you know, got some ice and...
Oh, God, yeah.
So
I have so been there.
Yeah. I mean, this kind of turned into, you know, pretty... like a mild case of cholera.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, it wasn't a joke. It started out just kind of being sick, and I don't even know where I got it. You know, it's just like, it was just instant.
We learned that lesson. I learned the lesson with salad.
Salad, yes,
they did
I
not
know.
Wash it with bottled water. Mm-hmm. They washed it with tap water, and I ate it.
Yeah, yep. I think even in the shower, I was probably just in, you know,
sick as a rabid dog.
Oh, my goodness. Oof.
So sick.
Yeah. Where were you?
So sick. I was in Senegal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was so sick. But I had met this woman at the market the day before because I'd asked her directions. And I was like, do you know where Caramel Market is? She goes, bonjour. Caramel Market. Caramel. No. All right. Caramel. No. Caramel. She was from France. And I was so sick. And I met her in another town the next day. And she was calling me, Caramel. And I saw her and I was like, oh, my God. I just fell on her. And I was like, I'm so sick. Help me. And
oh,
she did.
Goodness.
She helped me.
Oh, thank God.
I was so sick.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible feeling.
It's a terrible feeling.
And it only...
And I had sunburn.
Oh, that's terrible.
So sunburn and diarrhea.
Oh, yeah.
Not a good combination.
Oh, yeah. Coming out both ends.
Coming out my pores.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to take 1 minute and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So this is Noreen Sumter. We're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm speaking with Alexandra Clement. And she is a woodworker that gets her wood from the jungles of the world. So let's go. So your next day. So
the next day I wake up and I am terribly, terribly sick. And mm-hmm. I have my driver who I met at the airport that almost, you know, killed me. The NASCAR driver, you know, mm-hmm. Who was going to take me into the jungle to meet some of the people that I was, you know, set up appointments with.
Did they have a Jeep or what kind of car?
No, it was like a
regular car.
It was like a Honda Civic, but like from 1989 or something, okay. You know, like it was old. It wasn't even a Honda Civic. It was like some no name, you know, car. Right. So I was surprised he even showed up, but
money.
He did. Money, yes, exactly. Probably overcharged me, but he was so adamant. He was like, you know, on the way to these meetings, I'm going to show you all these resorts. And I was like, oh, this sounds nice. Like maybe this, I can relax for a little while in between my meeting. I'll go meet this guy, see some wood and, you know, hang out by the river. But that turned out to be just like a garbage filled stream or something like that.
Uh-huh. That is one of the ugliest sights ever.
Yes. Yes, it really is. But anyway, the car ride was terrifying again, especially now being sick with food poisoning, whatever I thought it was at the time. I didn't know it was going to turn into like, you know, much worse. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're driving along, heading to the jungle, basically.
Where's your partner at this time?
He's with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, you know, heading into the jungle and mm-hmm. about to embark on a whole new adventure.
Right. So what was that like?
I mean, it was some parts of it were really normal. You just meet with people and, you know, they would just not be anything affiliated with wood. They were just like, oh yeah, hi, we just met you on the internet. And, you know, you know, I sell cardboard boxes. And I was like, great, you know, this is wonderful. So I ended up just stopping and asking local people like where to go and who to talk to, like who here has a sawmill, who knows about trees. And that's kind of actually how I met people.
Right. So when you first go down, you're looking for trees.
Yes.
Right. So now you source stumps.
Stumps. Yeah. Everything changed. You know, I went down there like as a business opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it just turned into me really falling in love with the idea of this beautiful wood being shown to the world.
Right.
I was just like, you know, this is used for construction. We're putting in the water. People aren't seeing its beauty.
Right.
So I just became obsessed with the idea of like,
so when did the obsession start? Did it start in Panama? I mean, in Guyana?
It started in Guyana.
Uh-huh.
So over the 2 days that I was driving around, I met people and they would show me things that, you know, the wood was made from just from their homes, scrap wood that they would use. I was just like, what is this stuff? And started going into the jungle on hikes and I would see this wood and it was like the colors were weird and, you know, they would take like a machete and scratch at it. It just looked like a normal, you know, piece of wood. But inside it was just like, it was almost like finding a gemstone in the middle of the jungle. It was just like, oh my God, this is purple. This is pink. Like what? This isn't real. Orange, you know, like how does this happen in nature?
Right.
So yeah, that's what kind of when I was just like, oh my God. Like, I see something here. I need to find a way to bring this back.
And what was your partner seeing?
Money. Like, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm going to save some money and, you know, import wood. That's why that, you know, never really.
Right. So that never panned out.
Never
so
really
that
was, panned out.
So he was just the introduction to have you have the thought and then mm-hmm. come down.
Exactly. And then I just kind of, it became this thing like, okay, I'd hear stories from the locals about how the Forestry Commission worked and how they came in and they counted stumps from trees that were cut down or had fallen in storms and mm-hmm. they would clear them by burning them. Mm-hmm. So I started talking to those local people and I was just like, well, what if instead of burning these stumps, we, you know, excavate them, dig them out, and I'll buy them from whoever owns the land and, you know, we can plant new trees in their place.
Right.
So that was kind of where the idea started.
Right.
And then the locals got so excited about it. They just started like, oh my gosh, yeah, well, let's do it. Like, and they just started digging up all these stumps. Like, oh my God, how the heck am I going to get this back to New York now? Like, what is going on?
So you basically were in a flood.
Yeah, and I was just like, you know, once I got back to New York, I was just like talking to the people that I was working with down there, and they were just like, it was like they're sending me pictures of more and more and more wood that we had found and that they were excavating for me that was like, you know, just in the jungle, just going to be burned. And I was just like, what am I going to do with this? Like, I don't know how to import things. Like,
right.
So that was like the next struggle, was like trying to figure out how to get the wood to the States.
So you got the wood. Now people are supporting you and getting you more wood than you could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And then the next step was how to get it into the country. Yeah. What did you do?
I mean, it was years worth of work, really. Uh-huh. I mean, while this was going on, trips back and forth to South America and just sitting in the office and trying to figure out importation laws, which is something that, you know, changes all the time.
Right.
Really depends on the place and who you're working with. So it was just, you know, I got certified as a woman's own business, which was really cool. You know, because I was in kind of like a construction industry and I was importing wood and it was sustainable, and it was really cool to get certified as that. So that helped, you know, I got permits. But it was all really scary and really unknown.
What was scary about it?
The fact that I didn't know what was going to show up in this container. Like, what if they were going to put drugs in there or something, know, like, it was just like I was dealing with people I met in the jungle,
right,
and all of a sudden I was gonna ship a container of wood that we found,
right,
and that was a big task. I mean, you're going through international waters, you're dealing with the ports, you know, customs. It's for I was 20, you know,
right.
I was like, oh my God, what did I do? I have this wood coming, and I knew how heavy it was too. That was another thing.
So how big are these, like, stumps?
I mean, it depends. Like, some of them will be between like 20 and 30 inches in diameter, I would say. But they weigh like 120 pounds.
Oh, 'cause they're deep.
Well, I mean, not even just deep. They're just, the wood is so dense that it's like the consistency of steel.
Right.
So it's just so heavy. So even the thought of like, okay, well, once I get this stuff here, like, how the heck am I going to get it off the boat? Like, where am I going to put it? You know, I mean,
So it was like in action, you were taking action as you went along.
Yeah.
You just couldn't foresee.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was going to happen, that I was going to end up bringing all this wood, you know, I didn't foresee any of this.
Right.
So I was just really figuring it out as I went along.
And so now you are technically a woodworker, carpenter, Jesus's father.
That's the coolest thing.
Mother, you know. And so when did you start to actually make things?
It was a while after. Like, it took years. My mom knows all about that. Once we got the wood here, that was like, I thought that was going to be the hard part. But trying to figure out how to work with this stuff was just a whole other set of problems that took years to figure out. My mom actually, I was working another job at the time to, you know,
sustain.
I couldn't just, you know, import this stuff and sit around, and I needed to work.
Right.
So I was working a full-time job, and every day that I had off, she would like come in and we would drive around to different woodworking shops, sawmills upstate Long Island. And we would just ask people like, hey, like, you know, do you have any advice on how to cut these stumps?
Right.
They're like, oh yeah, those can't be cut. I was just like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, the wood is too hard. It'll break the blades. It's a cross section. It's end grain. This can't be cut. And I was just like, holy moly.
So I've got all this wood. It's uncuttable.
I just, you know, went through years and years of trying to get all this stuff here. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to do anything with it.
Did you cry?
Yeah, there were nights I cried. Anxiety, you know, stomach problems reoccurring from stress.
Right.
All that stuff. But yeah, I there was a part of me that I think a lot of people around me never really thought I would get to this point, not including my mom. She was, you know, the only one that did. But like a lot of the friends that I had around, you know, they all are just like, yeah, she's never going to be
she's
making crazy anything.
Wood lady.
Yeah, exactly. So I had finally found a shop in Brooklyn. It was just this this shared space. There was a place in Gowanus. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just started slowly happening where I was just like bringing one piece in and starting to work with it. I found one sawmill guy who was like, yeah, I'll make a few cuts for you. He charged me like $500, but I was just like, okay. And he was able to cut it. So I was just like, it can be done, you know, like it was just a big relief. So after years of just like not even knowing if I could work with it, I finally just started to bring small pieces into random shops, mm-hmm. you know, in Brooklyn, and just started working with it.
So now, how did the selling of it go?
That was all word of mouth, really. I mean, it was just kind of people would hear about my story, whether it be from, you know, online or... Mm-hmm. Someone I knew. I was working at Calvin Klein at the time, so I knew some people in the home department, the visuals team, so mm-hmm. they kind of like brought me on to do some work there. Mm-hmm. So it just, you know, just took a long time. It was slow, but, right. you know, steady, sort of, in the beginning. Right.
So she's brought in a piece of, this is a bowl, mm-hmm. right, that it's really heavy, actually.
Yeah.
And it looks like sort of, you know, I'm not a wooder, so I don't know anything about wood. So it looks like this part looks like it could be like an ivory type of wood.
It's called pentaglone. So uh-huh. it's a very, very dense hardwood. And I don't know if you can see it on the screen, but it's actually like a deep kind of purplish burgundy wow. color. And then on the outside, this is the sapwood. You can see all the spalting that's occurred. Right in the jungle. So it's
and this is the soft part and this is the really hard part.
Right.
But it's all hard.
It's all hard, yeah. The soft, the sapwood is not very soft.
So this is a bowl. It's about what? 6 to 8 inches? Six inches?
Eight.
About 3 inches, about 2 and a bit inches deep.
Yep.
Now tell them how long it took you to actually make that happen.
I mean, I did this over a couple weeks, but hours at a time. I mean, so how this wood works is it's just kind of like every tool that you use, it just
breaks
the blade, the bit. It lights everything on fire. This type of wood actually emits like a resin that uh-huh. comes out as like a protective thing, uh-huh. Which is actually really interesting. All the different species have like these different like mechanisms. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, mechanisms.
Mechanisms that happen when you put tools on it. Some will like emit an odor as a defense. Others like this emits like this weird resin. It's like uh-huh. sticky. But it's kind of cool because it's like a really deep purple and I'll like use it in my oil to right. kind of bring out the color. But yeah, I mean hours. If I had, you know, it's hard to, because I do it over, you know, time. Right, I don't work right. at one thing at a time usually.
So technically how many hours did this bowl take?
I would say like 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. I don't know. It's really hard to calculate. So
because you're like, meditating.
Yeah. It's just, you kind of go through the motions. Like, you know, every day I would work a little bit on it.
Right.
Till I got frustrated.
And so somebody says to you, I need a set of these.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's, I mean, it's good, but you know, it's a lot of work.
Right. So now you're giving me a whole new appreciation for like wooden products,
yeah.
right? Because I just would, because this is one solid piece.
Yes.
It's not joined in any way.
Nope.
And they're in, it literally looks like it could be man-made. That's how mm-hmm. pure the wood looks.
Yeah.
Right. And it's really smooth.
Right. Well, that's like one of the most important things to me is like that finish.
It's really, really smooth.
Yeah.
And so what would a bowl like that go for?
This one here is, I believe it's $395, something
$395,
like that.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, before, if I'd seen this in the shop and didn't know of what it took mm-hmm. to actually get this bowl mm-hmm. here, I'd be like, $395, she crazy?
Yeah.
But now I have a newfound appreciation
right.
for the fact that you did this by hand.
Yeah. And I went down to the jungle and had to find the material too.
Yeah. So there's a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and poo.
Yes. Oh my God. Way too much of that.
So now I get it. It's like now I actually realize this is the value in this, and this is like handmade.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to find it anywhere else.
You can't duplicate this.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is like art.
Yeah. Yeah. I consider it art for sure. And that's something that, you know, I kind of had to figure out over time. I never really saw myself as an artist. I certainly didn't go to art school.
Right.
But
well, you went to FIT.
I did. Yes. Sort but it was a business degree. It wasn't like I was, you know, designing clothes or anything cool like that. But yeah, it's kind of just something that, you know, I kind of realized that art kind of stems out of a love for something, mm-hmm. you know,
and
that
passion.
Yeah, that just kind of happens.
So that it was, you know, it was a passion, I guess, that pulled you forward, that kept you going.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't, if it was all about money, like the other guy, yeah. you'd have left the business a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I, you know, wasn't making money for a long, long time.
Right.
I mean, my mom will, you know, laugh at that, too. It's just like, it's just a struggle. Yeah, I put everything. That's why I was working other jobs, you know, just putting everything that I could save into doing this.
So how would you, somebody who says, I want to pursue my passion, do I have time? Right. Somebody that says, I want to pursue my passion. What would you say to them?
Well, I mean, you got to just kind of dive into it, mm-hmm. but also know that you can't, sometimes you can't fully dive into it.
Right.
Like I wasn't able to, I didn't, you know, come from a family with a lot of money,
right.
didn't have a trust fund. So I couldn't just, you know, work on, I know, couldn't just work, couldn't just, you know, work on this all the time.
And maybe if you had have had a trust fund, you would never have done this.
Maybe not.
Right, because you wouldn't have had the idea to say, how could I do this, make a little money, travel, fulfill
money.
On your passion, which was traveling
right.
and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, what would you say to that person who, you know, has an idea, doesn't know how, because you didn't know how.
I didn't know how.
Right?
I mean, you just kind of have to dive in and take things as they come. And if you have to do other things while you're pursuing your passion, that's okay. You know, nobody considered me a woodworker or an artist mm-hmm. 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was just a girl working at Calvin Klein or wherever I was working.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing this the whole time.
Right.
You know? So you don't have to worry about that. Like you're what image you're portraying or where you're working or just do what you have to do to mm-hmm. get to where you want to get.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mommy says it's not easy. It's not.
No.
Your passions aren't easy.
No.
You know, it's what, but it looks easy. And there's that thing they say that an overnight sensation wasn't born overnight.
Right.
It takes years to be an
yes.
overnight sensation.
Yes.
So it's taken years for you to actually learn to do this.
Right.
You know, and to have the patience, because I can't imagine how many cuts fingers you had.
Yeah. Yeah, cut fingers. And yeah, I mean, it's funny, the larger tools I've never hurt myself on, mm-hmm. but it's always, you know, when I'm sanding, because mm-hmm. like you said, like it's so soft, but it takes a long time to get it to that. So I'm just like sanding. Sometimes you get into this like meditative state and you're just mm-hmm. like, oh, oops. And you just accidentally sand your nail. And, you know, it's just like, oops, you know.
Well, I just know that for me, going to the jungle would not be one of the things that I want to do. Like cutting wood is not one of the things that, it's just not my thing.
You're not going to go in the jungle in Barbados?
I don't think they have jungle. They have jungle there. It's like,
maybe.
What?
I mean, like in St. Lucia, or, you know, I was down on a few islands. They always have some sort of,
I don't know. Like, whatever. Give me a nice drink and a deck chair and let me hear the water lap. Other people can do the cutting. I'll leave the cutting to the others. So are we going to take a break? Okay, so we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Hello, this is Bruce Chamoff, host of The Web Design and Technology Coach. Join me and my guests every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. as we discuss the latest in web design, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and technology. We also discuss popular topics, including WordPress, making money online, better Google rankings, and more. Every month, we also feature the best unsigned music from around the world, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And tonight I'm speaking with Alexandra Clement, and she is a woodworker as well as an importer of wood.
Yes.
Special woods.
Special
not just
wood.
Not your MDF. Is it MDF, that
no.
pretend stuff?
Oh, yes. I can't.
Right? Not your pretend wood or the woods that we have in the big box stores. No, this is real wood. And there is a difference, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll pick up, like if I'm using a new machine or something, I'll usually take a softer wood, walnut, which a lot of people consider hard, but to me, it's very soft. Mm-hmm. I'll pick that up and I'll use a machine on it. And to me, it's like butter. It's just like, it just disappears when I use it because right. I'm so used to the wood being so hard.
Right.
But to me, it's like, I made a spoon out of oak and I was just, I didn't feel connected to it at all. I was just right. like, this is not wood that I found. This is not special to me. I mean, I'm sure people make beautiful things out of that types of wood, but it just doesn't speak to me, you know,
right.
it's just totally different.
So you're working with like really, I mean, like literally this bowl is, you could actually hurt somebody with this.
Yes.
It's right. In a really bad way.
Can double, you
and,
know, as a weapon.
This is the kind of wood that like over the years, the time of using it and washing it and just being with it, it gets better and better. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, you're probably used to working with this hardwood and then you work with the softwoods. It's like probably night and day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I can understand it. So you wouldn't even dare to like buy something from a big box store.
No, I couldn't at this point. I mean, I can't. You know, I help out in the shop sometimes with other woodworkers and I use that stuff and it's just even the smell, like it's just, I feel like I'm working with chemicals and
right.
I don't know. It's just, it's crazy even how they're growing trees now. You can see like in an oak tree that the age lines used to be wound so tight.
Right.
But if you like slice open a tree that's like grown in like a drought or just in these conditions where they're just planting them and letting them grow fast. They want mm-hmm. them to grow fast. You could see it's just the quality of wood is just going down because it's
right.
just so overplanted, overcut.
Huh.
Yeah.
So every time they cut one of these trees down, what do they plant in return?
Another tree.
Yeah. But is it another tree like this?
Yes.
Oh, they
well,
do.
That's the goal. I mean, in Panama right now, what I'm trying to do is find indigenous trees. It really depends where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So Panama, for example, it's like we're searching for seeds of indigenous trees, which a lot of them don't exist anymore.
Right.
Because it's just like, especially in a place like Panama, they're just cutting everything down and they're planting like teak and trees that are easy to sell and grow fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like really hard to find any indigenous trees.
Right.
So that's kind of like what I do when I'm down there is just try to find
this
stuff.
Oh my God. So that sounds really, really sad. That sounds like that. There was a movie with Tom Hanks and Halle Berry,
mm-hmm.
Cloud Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, all the seeds mm-hmm. were like, there were no more seeds and they were planting all these manufactured artificial seeds.
Oh my
goodness.
I have to watch that.
That sounds very, very scary.
Yeah, it is. It is scary and it's sad.
Well, we have a caller.
Oh.
So let's hear what this caller has to say.
I'm putting this on.
I feel like, hi, Tim. Hello, Tim. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. How are you, Noreen?
Hi. How are you? So do you have a question
Doing
for
well,
us?
Thanks. I do. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi, Tim.
I'm curious what the inspiration is when you look at a log or a stump, and how do you decide what to make? Is it your own design, and they're available for sale, or are your clients commissioning your pieces?
It's a little bit of a mixture of both, I would say. I mean, it definitely started out with me just looking at a raw piece of wood and looking at the irregularities.
The
you know, and just kind of seeing like what's different about this and being like, okay, like this has a really weird edge and I'm going to take this edge and make a bowl from it or
mm-hmm.
something like that. So yeah, it really does come from the raw state of the wood, a lot of the inspiration. And yeah, I also have clients that come to me and they're like, I need something for this space. And it's just kind of my job to work with them to figure out what we both want.
Right. But I would imagine that most of your pieces are going to be heirlooms because the wood is so hard.
Right.
It would take something to, you're not going to find this out on the street.
No. Yeah. No, I know. And, you know, if you did, it would last forever. It's like, you know, like a rock or something.
Right. Exactly. So did that answer your question, Tim?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Tim.
So, so you get like custom pieces, people come in and they, people come in and ask you to do custom pieces. I've seen some of your stuff. Do you want to give out your Facebook, not your Facebook, your website?
Yes. My website is just my name, www.alexandraclement.com. And then
spell Clement for them, please.
C-L-I-M-E-N-T.
Right.
Did I say that well?
Yes, you did. Because, you know, people would probably add an E in there because that's what I would
do. Yes, everybody thinks it's spelled with an E.
So that's why I wanted you to spell it and make sure they knew it was with the I.
Yes.
So is there any questions? I always ask this question. Are there any questions that you'd like me to ask you?
Huh, that's interesting. I mean,
something that you'd like to talk about that no one's ever asked you.
I don't know. Let me think about it.
Yeah. Think about that. And I will definitely ask you.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so many different aspects to this, right? It's like me in the shop, me in the jungle, me being a woman in a very male-dominated world.
Tell me about that. What's that like for the women out there? You're a woman-owned business.
Yes.
And you're in a male-dominated industry.
Yes.
Right? What is that like for you?
I mean, it can be both a positive and a negative. You know, I've struggled with it in the past, just kind of trying to prove myself. Mm-hmm. I deal with a lot of like mansplaining, where people just think they know it all. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the rules of woodworking don't apply to the wood that I'm working with specifically. Right. So you'll have a person who's been working with wood for 50 years come up to me and be like, oh, you should really be doing this way. Uh-huh. And, you know, it doesn't apply to this material. So it's just kind of like, you know, yeah, I know you have more experience than me, but this just doesn't work. So it's always funny to have them come over and try to do something. And then they're just like, okay, whoops, this doesn't work. Rules don't apply.
So they try to do what they would
do their suggestion,
with your wood.
Yes.
And they used to working with a softer wood and realize it was like a really hard wood.
Yeah.
We have Tom on the line first. We had Tim and now we have Tom.
Tim and Tom.
So let's see who we'll have next. Oopsie.
Hi,
Hi Tom,
yeah, thanks
how are
for
you?
Taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, so I mean, I was just curious because Alexandria, I mean, you have such a great story, just really grinding it out for years on end and following your passion. But I mean, I'm really curious, what advice would you give your younger self about working in a male-dominated industry?
I think that would be her toddler self.
I know, it was pretty young. I mean, I think I would try to tell myself not to be so intimidated by it, you know, or trying, like I was always trying to prove myself. Mm-hmm. So I guess just being more comfortable in my skin, like just knowing that, I don't know like what I'm doing, you know, a lot of people don't do. Right. And so
you're a trailblazer.
Yeah. And just because I don't know the answer to something doesn't mean that that makes me stupid or, you know, uneducated in woodworking or something like that. So yeah, I kind of wish I had, I mean, I think I was confident, but it's always nice if I were a little bit more confident.
Well, girl, you went out there into the unknown.
Yeah, that part was easier for me, but dealing with people, that's like a whole different situation for me.
Okay. So did she answer your question, Tom?
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice all around. Do you mind sharing the name of your website one last time? I didn't quite get it.
Yes, it's www.alexandraclement.com.
C-L-I-M-E-N-T.com.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. That was great. So we were saying you're a woman. So we're going to take a break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
This is Noreen Sumter, and we're back from On Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we're talking to Alexandra Clement. So, I asked you a question offline. I usually get all my best insights offline, but anyway, what's your ideal client or commission? What would be that?
I mean, it's definitely, it will vary, but I would just say a client who really loves the wood, mm-hmm. which is usually what I get, which mm-hmm. I'm lucky. You mm-hmm. know, most people who are coming to me to commission a piece or who want to buy something I've already made, mm-hmm. they're already in love with the wood because they know the story or they've never seen something like that mm-hmm. before. But yeah, I mean, it's really great to have clients who like to be a part of the design process, mm-hmm. but also know that, you know, I'm working with material that sometimes certain things can't be done or we might have to change it. And
right.
People who are just open to wood being something that's alive kind of and moving and, you right. know, can understand that. That's always cool. really good.
All right. So, and where can people find you? You have a studio, right? Or
yes.
do you call it a studio?
I call it a wood shop.
Okay.
Because it's dirty. It's, you know, dusty. It's...
Let me feel your hands. Oh, they're very strong, but they're smooth.
I got a manicure today, which is like a miracle. It's like, oh my God.
No, they were strong, but they're not man hands.
Thank God.
No, because you think of like, you know, woodworking, you see guys, they have man hands. Like big crusty hands. It's like they touch you. It's like,
I mean, sometimes I come home and I'll just like have glue all over my hands. I have to use this certain type of glue because mm-hmm. regular wood glue doesn't bind my right. wood. So I use this like poly glue uh-huh. and it just leaves this, it stays in your hands forever. It's like crazy glue.
Right.
But you'll see like I'll get wood chips in it and like dust. So mm-hmm. like I'm just like this rough surface of things. It's just terrible.
So what kind of woman, like, do you see in the wood shop? Or do you see women often?
There's never any really in my wood shop at all. It's all men.
And all the time that you've been working with wood, how many women can you count that you've engaged with?
In my shop, there was one girl helping out uh-huh. one time. That was it. I don't really talk to too many.
Right. So what would you say to women who... you know, might have thought about this or, you know, how would you engage women in the world of wood?
I would tell, come see me. I want more women in my shop. It would uh-huh. be great. And just not to be intimidated by it. You know, like I think it's so intimidating walking into a shop full of men and tools. And mm-hmm. when you don't know how to use something, it can be really scary. But you have to realize when you're using a big machine, like it's not the machine that you're. Yeah, it's not the machine that's going to hurt you. It's you making a mistake with right. the machine.
Right.
So as long as you know, kind of, it's like almost like a meditative state when you're cutting things. It's just, you kind of have to get into it and realize, you know, this is not going to hurt me.
Right.
If I handle it right.
Right.
It's like every time I use a new machine, I kind of like pat it and I'm just like, okay, we're going to make this now, you know, like you have to respect the,
absolutely.
The tools. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So did you think of that question that you want me to ask?
Oh, no, I didn't. Crap.
So is a question, I'm going to throw it over to Mummy. Is there a question that you'd like to ask?
Would I like to ask?
Yes. Come over.
For you to ask her.
Yes. Okay. Or something that you want to know, and I'll ask her. Welcome, Mummy, to the last segment. So what was it like for you as her mother, her going off into these jungles and getting sick and, you know, getting all this wood, not knowing what direction to go. What was it like for you?
I was very frightened for her.
Uh-huh.
But not as frightened until after she told me what happened to her down there. She got held up and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But my most, my really biggest fear is, oh my God, what is she doing and how is she going to do this?
Right.
Because we had no resources. We went all over the place looking for places for her to work out of. She got rejected and dejected, and it was not easy. And I have to tell you this one story.
Put it in the mic.
She couldn't find a place to do her work, so she brought this big, huge stump out to my mom's, who has a small patio. And she was out in the back with a little sander, and she started sanding, and I just happened to look outside, and I said, in my heart, it just kind of like, oh my God, how is she going to do this? She's on a patio with a little sander and this huge stump of wood.
Uh-huh.
That was the only time I said, I don't know if this is going to be possible.
Uh-huh.
And that's where she started, on that back patio.
Yeah, it was really hard because I like I said before, I didn't have a place to work,
right.
You know? So I was like, she was driving me around everywhere and, you know, I was at my grandma's house and I was, you know, sanding on her porch. You know, I had an apartment in the Lower East Side. I would carry these like 100-pound stumps up 6 flights of stairs because I had a rooftop and I was going to sand on there. And, you know, that's why everybody thought I was crazy, you know.
But I
didn't have enough money to rent like some art space or art studio. Like I was just like, and we were talking, how the hell do people do this? You know, like.
They do it like you do it.
I guess.
You know, they carry 100-pound stumps up to the roof.
We have the pictures to prove it.
Yeah.
4-story walk up. She had.
No, 6-story.
6-story walk.
Yeah.
6-story walk carrying these big, huge, you know.
Stumps. So, well, there's nothing like a mother's love, you know? You go through hills and dales and valleys and jungles.
Yeah. But here she is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perseverance, but a lot of anxiety.
Okay.
A lot of anxiety.
So if what you know now, would you do it again?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like I'm only getting started, you know, like it's just like, I feel so lucky that like all this hard work has taken so long and people are finally getting to see like what the hell I've been up to for the past 7 years.
Enough.
Yeah. Whatever it's been.
And it's
like,
real.
Yeah. You know, it's a real story.
It's a real struggle, but it's a real thing.
Now. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, definitely I would do it again. I mean, I guess there's been a lot of crazy times that I look back and I'm just like, oh my God, like, would I be able to do it again? But, you know, yeah.
Well, you're evolving, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely.
So it's great. I think it's wonderful. And when I first met you and you told me that you were woodworker, I was like, oh, damn. I think I just started the show. Thanks, Mom. And I was like, oh, I'd love to have her on the show because I wanted to know, you know, what it is that you did, how you did it, you know. And I met you at the Sustainable.
Right, at the Brooklyn.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Fashion Week.
Yes.
Which was a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And I met you at the Sustainable event, and I thought it was really great what you did.
Yeah.
You know? So, and you were talking about my hands. And I was like, wow, she's actually, and I did. I went and Googled you, you know, and saw what you did. And I said, like, what? And then I've been watching you on internet, on the Instagram, because you're always posting on Instagram.
Yep.
And that's when I reached out to you and said, I'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah.
And you would invite me to come to the studio. So now I will come
to your workplace. I'll put you to work. You'll like it. It's very therapeutic.
It's probably really, it will be a lot of fun. So, Alexandra, is there anything that you would like to, first I would like to share you to share your website again. Is there anything that you're doing that you would like to promote?
Yeah, I mean, the website, again, is www.alexandraclement.com. Mm-hmm. And a great way to see my work, as you said, you found me on Instagram and saw all that. I post a lot of photos there. So it's just my name, at Alexandra Clement.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't know if any listeners are in the UK, but I'm leaving in 2 days to go speak at Makers Central, which is an event there for other makers, and we're all gonna kind of talk.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Makers.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. So I'll be over there. And then when I get back, it's just back pounding the pavement. So mm-hmm. I'll be in the shop. I'm gonna be creating new pieces, and hopefully in the fall, I'm gonna be having a show,
mm-hmm.
Like a kind of a private invite only show where I'm gonna be showcasing my pieces in an art space.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we have a few minutes left of the show. Mom, would you want to say anything before we sign off? Like, you know, you want to say anything? What about your boyfriend? Do you want to say anything? Is there anything that you want to say? We didn't introduce you, but, you know.
This is Jake.
Yeah. Jake.
I think so.
Come.
Yeah, Jake, go sit down.
Because you're in it.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, it's a...
It's a family affair.
It is a family affair, I'll have to say. And the most inspiring aspect to all of this for me is, you know, we talk about, you know, how crazy she is and...
She is crazy, and it's great.
What people think, you know, is crazy. And to me, I see dedication and... the will to go beyond what other people's expectations mm-hmm. of you are. A lot of people you meet in your life will keep you where they meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't give yourself that room to grow above what other people's perception of you is, then you might as well stay there. Alexandra has been kind of a model of that for me. And, that more than anything else has won her my full support in all that she wants to accomplish.
Awesome. Well, that's why the show is called Beyond Potential. We go beyond our potential and we live life our way because this is our passion. This is what we care about. And I don't care. Like I always say, I don't care if you're collecting buttons. If that's your passion, because somebody doesn't collect buttons, right? If that's your passion, that's something you're interested in, then you should go forth and do it. So I salute all the people that are like pursuing their passions. And this is me, Noreen Sumter, signing off and getting ready to put my bikini on in Barbados. Until next week, bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I am Dr. Tranquility of Dr. Tranquility PR, successfully meeting the media needs of the wellness community. As an expert myself for major mainstream media, radio, TV, and print magazines, I now help you book interviews for broadcast radio, podcast, television, and IPTV, as well as many, many magazines. Reach me, 212-920-1603.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.